Good morning. Today's the 30th of August, 2026. It's the Lord's Day. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Come and worship God. And I have here where we left off, or part of what we read last week. We've finished reading through the Oni hymns, or at least some of them. And I'd like to read to us some of what we finished off with last week, the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And you remember that some of them said, "We're the children of Abraham. We've never been slaves of anyone, so how can you say that we will be free?" Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Please bow with me now and let's come before God and pray. Oh Lord Jesus, there is a promise that you've given us there. If the Son sets us free, we're free indeed. And may we take hold of that with all that we are. And we thank you, Lord, as we come to worship you now. What joy it brings us, and it refreshes our souls in a way that nothing else can. It's the most humbling thing to worship you. And yet it fills us with joy and gratitude that you love wretched and rebellious, indifferent people, unbelieving people. People such as us who crucified your Son. But we thank you, Father. You promise that you will put a new heart, a new spirit within us, your own spirit. You'd remove the old heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And we know that that is true, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for giving your Son at the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, died in the place of sinners. And we entrust all that we are in him, that we would belong to Christ and be in him. And we hate the sin that took him to the cross. It was our sin. But we love him for all that he has done. We thank you that the price has been paid once and for all. And we thank you that you also break the power of sin within our lives. So come, we thank you for the Counselor, the Holy Spirit that you've given. Come fill our lives now, we pray. Every part of us. Where we are so weak, Lord, may your Spirit lead us and guide us. And we ask this, therefore, to your glory and honour, that your name would be praised in our lives and to the ends of the earth and to the ends of eternity. And we pray it in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen. Well, would you sing now? Sing with me. We'll sing "Creation Sings," the Father's songs. So please stand. Please sing.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn and run the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe. He charts the eagle's flight, commands the newborn baby's cry.
Creation gazed upon Whose life would break the curse, whose death would set us free to live with him eternally. Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Return when Christ shall reign upon the earth. The bitter wars that rage are birth pains of a coming age. When he renews the land and sky, all heaven will sing and earth reply with one resplendent theme, the glory of our God and King.
Stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King. Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing.
Moment we'll come before the Lord in prayer, but I've loved over the last few weeks and found it very strengthening and helpful to look at the Lord's Prayer from the Heidelberg Catechism, and we'll do that again now. This is about the fourth and the fifth petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are in debt to us. So please hear the answers that they give, and I pray that this will strengthen us. Question 125. What does the fourth petition mean? Give us this day our daily bread. It means, do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and trust in you alone. Then question number 126 about the fifth petition. What does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. It means, because of Christ's blood, do not hold against us, poor sinners that we are, any of the sins we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Please forgive us, just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace within us, to forgive our neighbours. Well, please bow with me and we'll pray. Let's pray. O Lord, our God and our loving Heavenly Father, give us each day our daily bread, we pray. And may we not run ahead of you, but just enough for the day. And forgive us our debts or our trespasses, our sins, just as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The grace received is grace shown, we pray. Lord, hear our prayers now. Especially we pray for the situation in Nepal, for families that grieve, Lord, and there are those who belong to Christ Jesus, who call on his name. and yet they're suffering at this time, and we pray that you'd especially be with them. We ask your mercy there. Oh God, you are wise and you are good. Please give us your wisdom, Lord, when we're perplexed or bewildered. We don't understand things in life. We ask that you'd give us your peace and so relieve us of our pressures. Give us steadfastness in trouble. Even though we don't understand all things, we trust that you are good. We pray to be faithful in temptation. We'll face temptation of different sorts. We pray as Paul prayed, and we will look at this later, Romans 6, what we've been seeing. That if I'm a Christian, that means that when Christ died, I died. I died to self. I died to trusting in myself. I died to ever thinking that by the law I could be right with you, Lord. I died to that old sinful nature and to its power within, because someone stronger now lives within, Christ Jesus. And we pray to know that and to prove that power day by day. We pray for believers around the world, and especially we think of Nigeria at this time. We thank you for those brothers and sisters in Christ who they've suffered terribly, but surely their faith will shine bright, their faith which is more valuable than anything in all the world. We thank you that they know the jewel of Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life in him. And we pray that you'd especially be with them and strengthen them. Encourage those who feel overwhelmed. Give strength to those who need strength. And maybe where the temptation will be to hate in return, we pray, O Lord, that you'd hold up the shield of faith. Give them that shield that they would stand firm. We pray and we commit these things to you, our great God and our loving Heavenly Father. Please hear and answer our prayers according to your goodwill. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing now, Oh, for a Closer Walk with God. Please stand and please sing.
Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road leading to the Lamb. Where is that blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Oh, fire of God, come burn in me, renew a holy passion, till Christ my deepest longing be, my never-failing fountain, my never-failing fountain. What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet the memories still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Oh, fire of God, come burn in me, renew a holy passion, till Christ my deepest longing be, my never-failing fountain, my never-failing fountain. To tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame, so pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. O fire of God, come burn in me, renew a holy passion, till Christ my deepest longing be, my never failing fountain. O fire of God, come burn in me, renew a holy passion, till Christ my deepest longing be, my never failing fountain, my never failing fountain.
There's an unusual part of the Bible that I'd like to read for us now. It's Deuteronomy chapter 15. It's Moses's giving of the law before the people entered into the promised land. It's his final sermon, in a way, before the people entered into what God had promised. And this is a section all about slaves. It will speak particularly about a slave who may have been set free, but who actually wanted to stay with his master and stay under his lordship. And what would happen is that they would then go and the slave's ear would be pierced. And that would show who their master was, signify who their master was. I'll read that, and then we'll read from Romans 6, which will speak to us about slavery to God, and God is our new master. So here first, Deuteronomy chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. If a fellow Hebrew, a man or a woman, sells himself to you and serves you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let him go free. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed, but supply him liberally from your flocks, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. But if your servant says to you, I do not want to leave you, because he loves you and your family, and he is well off with you, then take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door, and he will become your servant for life. Do the same with your maidservant. Do not consider it a hardship to set your servant free, because his service to you these 6 years has been worth twice as much as that of a hired hand. And the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. I'll now read to us from Romans chapter 6. And we'll start reading from verse 19 through to verse 23. Romans 6, verse 19. Just before this, Paul has said, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And then verse 19, he says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap is leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word for us. Amen. Well, welcome. This is our last time coming to the end of Romans chapter 6 and what I think is one of the most powerful parts in all the Bible. And that actually our joy and happiness as Christians, if we are Christians, is tied to how well we grasp this chapter. And I'd repeat that. I think that you can imagine someone who had a basic approach to life of one attempt after another to do the best that they can. You've probably had many conversations, as I have, where the person seems to try to convince you that they've lived a worthy life. I'm not sure why. And they may confess to being a Christian, but there's something amiss there. It's because there's something very important here in Romans chapter 6 that we must know. A massive transfer took place when we came to faith in Jesus Christ. Because I now belong to him and I have died to sin and the old power of sin. And if I'm a Christian, then I need to be told that. You've been freed from old man nature and you've been given a new nature under a new master, Jesus Christ. And in fact, he now lives within me. When someone changes their nationality from one kingdom to another, yes, they'll struggle with the new way of speaking. It is a whole new way of speaking. And they'll struggle with the whole new culture. It all takes time. But what matters is that they're now in, or they belong to, the new kingdom. And they're under the power and the dominion of a new king. And it's like that with becoming a Christian. It's wonderful. Really, this chapter is about the most important thing in all the world, union with Christ. That word union, it's a wedding word. It describes a new husband, a new wife being united together. And so the Lord Jesus is united or wedded to me by faith. And everything in him is ours. I'm united to his life, his death, his burial. And especially here, I'm united to his new resurrected life. And that bond is so strong that none can break it. And it means everything to me. Now, I hope we'll come to more of this in a moment, but because it is wonderfully powerful. But let's pray first. Let's bow before God. Lord, sin must not be our master. That's a denial of who we are in Christ Jesus and a terrible thing. But we're to offer ourselves. We're to offer ourselves to you. Please open our minds to your truth. Protect us from anything that would take us from you. And let the Holy Spirit overcome every blockage. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I mentioned just a moment ago someone whose basic approach to life is about doing this and not doing that, but that in Romans 6, the approach is about everything that we now are in Christ Jesus, who we are and whose we are, and that makes all the difference in the world. Now, we call that identity, don't we? And the world pours all so much energy into answering that question, but sadly it leaves many lives in ruin. Now let's come to it. If you've got your Bible there, please look at Romans 6. If you look at verse 19 to 23, and you look at the verses that are just before this, then you'll see that the main words are the words reign and the words master, that's verse 14, words obey and obedience. And yet probably you'll notice that the main word is the word slave. I think it's here at least 8 times. And if I was to say to you slave, then you would probably respond with the opposite word of free, slave and free. But you'll notice that the word free is not in these verses. And that's because Romans 6 makes clear that we're all slaves. We're not free. We're all slaves, either to sin or to righteousness, to God. So you're slave or slave. And we should ask this too, as we're coming to this. Why did Paul write this at all? Why is it important for Christians to know this? Maybe I'm a Christian, but I think you're not talking about me here. I don't think of myself as being dead to sin. And if so, then I'm making a serious mistake. There is a serious mistake within my life. And I'll find myself in situations unable to handle them as I ought to, because I've forgotten whose I am. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I'm in him if I truly am a Christian. And so if you look around these verses, then by the end of today, holiness, or becoming more and more like Christ Jesus, my Saviour, which is the desire, which is what I truly desire with all my heart, that is tied to me understanding that I am now a slave to God. And that's wonderfully good. That's verse 22. My growth in the Lord is tied to understanding that I am a slave to God. That's why we say God's honor and glory and my joy or happiness as a Christian is tied to how well I grasp this. Now, please look at verse 19 and listen to these words, the necessary words for us to hear. Paul says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. And he's been speaking about the transformation. If you belong to Christ Jesus, then you're now a slave to righteousness. But no picture or illustration is ever perfect. And so I think what Paul means here is simply that I'm putting this in human terms, which I know are weak. And then comes the command at the end of verse 19. So hear the command. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. You're to do something, Christian. If God is your God, then you must do this. Offer yourself and every part of who you are to serve everything that is right in God, everything that will lead to holy living. And don't go back to the old ways. You're to stand firm and grow in what is good. You used to live in slavery to sin and actually getting worse and worse, it said, ever increasing wickedness. I think over the last month or so, we've mentioned a story from C.S. Lewis probably every week, and that's because he's good. Here's another story. He once wrote a story in which there was a man, but he was a ghostly man. So he was a man who was not quite everything that he was made to be, a ghostly man. And Lewis tells how this man had a little red lizard on his shoulder, twitching its tail. And it whispered temptations into this man's ear, and the man believed that the lizard could make him happy in life. But then, and this is where you have to picture what happened, a heavenly being came over to the man, an angel. But the angel was so pure and bright, and the man was so dull, that he burnt the man whenever he came close to him. Isn't that true? But the angel told the man what he needed to hear. The lizard must die if he's to be free. But the man refuses. He's caught. He thinks that if the lizard dies, then he would die too. He's become dependent on the lizard. Eventually, though, he agrees to kill the lizard. Well, that death is a terrible death. And I mean for the man, not for the lizard. The man shrieks. And God's work is often like that in our lives. Sin doesn't give up easily. But once the reptile is dead, and this is the best part, the man is not only free, but the dead lizard then transformed into a beautiful stallion. And suddenly Lewis simply says, lust, the lizard was lust. Lust is a poor, weak, whimpering, whispering thing when compared to the richness of life that only comes to life when old sin is killed. Isn't that exactly the truth? And every Christian will say, yes, that's true, and I've seen that in my life. Do you remember how we said that my baptism is not a one-time event, but it always speaks to me of new life, the new life I have in Christ, and that's verse 4. So too, verse 19, it says, offer the parts of your body, your mind. You take every captive thought, make it obedient to Christ. Your emotions, your will, your wants. You offer them as slaves to righteousness that leads to holiness. And that's not a one-time event of offering, but it means you're always, continually, moment by moment, remembering whose you are, who you belong to, and so offering yourself to God. And such is the command of God that he gives the grace and he gives the strength to what he commands. Older Christians, again, we often talk about older Christians of previous generations. Often they would covenant with the Lord. And the old Methodists were known. Those who are still faithful to the Lord nowadays, the Methodists, they're known for their covenant prayer. They'd often pray that at the beginning of each new year, setting the right foundation for the year ahead. I'll pray this prayer. I'll read their prayer. And I pray that as I read it, you would take it up upon your own lips too, or your own heart. I'm no longer my own, but yours, O God. So put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And so let it be. And let that covenant now made on earth be ratified in heaven. That is, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. I offer myself to righteousness, O Lord. And my freedom is a freedom to serve you, O living God. And in the quiet of my heart, moment by moment, I humbly offer you my all, because you have claimed the whole of me. And those last words are vital. Christ claims the whole of me. Now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you'll know two things. Looking back, I am so sorry for my sin. Before I knew Christ, I wasn't free at all, but I was a slave to sin. It was a vain, fruitless life. But two, I regret nothing in Christ Jesus. Now that's hindsight. And that's verses 20 and 21. Christian, look back on your life and realize these two things. Humanity's and individuals set free from God don't become more humane, but more shameful in their behavior. We degenerate. We lose something of what God made us to be. And so look at verse 20 and 21. This is Christian hindsight. It says, when you were slaves to sin, hindsight, looking back, you were without Christ. You were a slave to sin. You were free from the control of righteousness. You did what you wanted. Only you didn't do what you wanted because you were a slave to sin. And verse 21 then says, well, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death, both spiritual and physical death. That the mind without God cannot truly exalt in the heights of music or poetry or history or literature or science, because we can discover marvelous things and be creative, but we're still slaves. Laziness or anger, lying, stealing, manipulation, getting my way, wanting people's praise, wanting the things of the world, or whatever is the master of your life. And I am so ashamed of what I was before. And I remember last week, at least here at Walker, we finished off by singing the hymn by Charles Wesley. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that feels and knows that your blood was freely shed for me. I was none of those things before. And what good did I reap from that, the things of those times, the things that I'm now so ashamed of? But Christian hindsight then has a second insight to share with us. And this is now verse 22. But now, thank God, now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, every person who truly is a Christian is a slave to God. The benefit that you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And with hindsight, I now say, O God, there is no regret in Christ Jesus. I think that Paul, reading through these verses, can promise you five things. Number one, that the battle within me is not over. That's why Paul writes this, of course. That if you are a Christian, then you must know that must know whose you are, because the danger is that you'll give up and you'll give in to sin. Give in, give in. We've spoken about a kind of helplessness before, but this verse says, these verses say, I must know who I belong to. You can resist sin and the devil. Christ is the stronger man within me than old Adam. And so I ask, how can I go back to that, to what I was before? But the battle within me is not over. Promise two, that I have been set free from sin. A Christian has undergone a profound change in their life. There's then and now. Sin is a whole power or dominion, a rule that I once lived under and I couldn't escape it. I didn't know it then and I couldn't see it, but I can now. The whole time, my real need was for you, my God. And you freed me from sin's power. I think that you need to hear that as a Christian, or you'll never grow in Christ. I'm not helpless. I don't have to sin, because Christ Jesus is my new master, and I belong to him. Promise three is exactly that. My new master is Christ, or more specifically here, God. God himself. And I love his service. And if I truly belong to him, then there's nothing I would rather do but please him. He has claimed the whole of me at the cross, and he now claims the whole of my life. And so don't hold back. Your new master is God, so give yourself fully to him. And that comes to four, the promise number four here. Under my new master, I do live a life of holiness. And the fruit of life under God is a growing sanctification or a growing holiness within my life. And if that's not there, then a person's not a Christian at all, no matter what they think. Promise number five is that also under my new master, eternal life now wonderfully awaits, where everything will be perfected. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. You remember we sung that. He sets the prisoner free. He sets the prisoner free. And oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And I thank Mr. Wesley for writing that and putting into words what is written here and what I believe, that that is exactly what's happened to me. Sin's power is broken in my life, and God himself truly is my master. We've spoken a few times over the last few weeks of something of what this means, and let me push us that way again. I think that it means that someone who truly is a Christian ought never to say, I can't change, or I'm addicted. To me, addiction implies that sin still reigns. It's the world's message. You can't change. You're born that way or born a certain way. But I'm suggesting that that is a denial of Romans 6. Now, I will fall, and I'll fall again, and I'll fall again. But I am God's own, And that's what I need to know. And in the moment of unbelief and temptation or sadness or distraction, I must know whose I am, who I belong to. The sum of it all comes in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, and the wage must be paid because God is just. I deserve death under old sin and under sin's dominion. But gift is not deserved. Gift is given. Gift is thankfully received. And the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And those last words are the most important. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that actually is where we finished last time. Truth and experience go together, or doctrine and Christian living are wedded together. They're never separated. I belong to Christ. I might have been tempted to think, is it worth it? But in hindsight, nothing in Christ and the new life in him, nothing is regret. And now standing before us, I can see Christ Jesus, who promises us his rest, and he promises us that his yoke is a wonderful yoke. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And looking back, yes, I know that's true, Lord. I have no regret. Thank you. Isn't it a wonderful picture in the Old Testament? When someone wanted to remain with their master, they would say, pierce my ear, because I want to belong to you. I know whose I am. And that's exactly what we have here. Well, let God's word speak to us, and let this message be the message that we needed to know this day. And I know that in the coming week, probably we'll be tested by this before the week's come to its end, but God's honour and our joy are all tied up in this. So please, if you belong to Christ, offer yourself to God in everything. Amen. Please, will you pray with me now? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this powerful chapter that we've now reached an end of. And we could read this 100 times and still it would speak to us again and again. And especially we thank you for Christ Jesus, and that you are our new master. Pierce my ear. Lord, we pray that we will offer ourselves moment by moment, day by day to you. And we can only pray that and ask that because of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we pray in his name and thank you. Amen. It truly is one of the great joys to be able to ask for God's blessing and seek God's blessing upon you in the week ahead. And this is what I'd seek this week. May you know that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. And therefore, may you give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And I ask that in the strength that he provides to his spirit. Amen. Let's sing now. We sang this last time. I think it'd be good to sing it again. Breathe on me, breath of God. May God bless you in the week ahead. Amen.
Breath of God, and fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all